To be sure, the image of the Good Shepherd is as ancient as the faith itself. One of the oldest extant images we have of the Lord, in fact, depicts him as the Good Shepherd, the Pastor Bonus. This is a fresco still visible in the Roman catacombs of Domitilla, dating back to the 3rd century, the 200s. For the seminary community, our seminary chapel has a beautiful stained glass window depicting this theme. And certainly words like pastor or pastoral form part of our vocabulary, not to mention favorite foods like tacos pastor. Bishops themselves wield a pastoral staff. It's called a crozier. It's a sign that they are the chief shepherd of their diocese. For millennia, believers have taken great comfort in bucolic images of the Good Shepherd tending all of us, his flock, with gentleness and care. But before we skip too far ahead, we might consider the adjective the Lord uses to describe himself, for it would have come across as a surprise to his hearers. Tomorrow's gospel will feature these very precise words. Jesus himself will say, "I am the Good Shepherd." But this word good would have been quite paradoxical. We might want to ask at this point, were shepherds in antiquity considered to be good? We take it for granted. Well, it may come as a surprise to some, but shepherds in Jesus' time were generally not considered to be good or reputable. They occupied the lowest rung on the social ladder, often despised as uneducated, unclean, untrustworthy, and frankly dishonest. They were frequently associated with vagrant trespassers because they grazed their flocks on others' land, not their own. They were too poor to own. They were marginalized, deemed ceremonially unclean due to their work, and even forbidden from giving testimony in court. From a religious perspective, the Pharisees considered shepherds outcasts or sinners due to their work, which involved handling dead animals and living in the fields. For this reason, they could not adhere to strict ritual purity laws or regular prayer times. They were really persons on the margins. And despite this low status, paradoxically enough, the Gospel of Luke highlights that God chose shepherds to be the first witnesses of Jesus' birth, signifying at least in part that the Messiah came for the marginalized. So for the Lord to call any shepherd good, let alone himself, would have challenged pre-existing norms and conventions. But this should really come to us as no surprise. After all, this is the very same Good Shepherd who abandons the 99 in search of the one lost sheep. Not exactly something they teach across the way at Stanford Business School. Very unconventional economics. Conventional wisdom would write off that one lost sheep as a tax loss or simply the cost of doing business. And as if this paradox of the Good Shepherd weren't enough, the Lord also refers to himself in today's passage as the gate and the gatekeeper. What did he mean? In the Lord's time, there were two types of sheepfolds. In villages and towns, there were communal sheepfolds where all the villagers and their flocks were sheltered when they returned home at night after a long day of work. These folds were protected by a strong door, of which only the guardian of the door held the key. This is what Jesus means when he is the gatekeeper. The other kind of sheepfold was the type found in the wild. During summer months, when sheep would not return at night to the communal sheepfold, they were kept together in hillside sheepfolds, which had just a small opening enclosed by a wall. At night, the shepherd literally became the gate, because he slept across the small entryway. In order for the sheep to enter and exit the sheepfold, which the Lord depicts in today's gospel, sheep had to climb over the shepherd. What a scene that must have been. And this is why the Lord refers to himself as the gate. The deeper meaning should be clear. Through him and him alone do we find access to the Father. Jesus opens the way to God. Until the Lord came among us as man, most Jews would think of God only at best a stranger and at worst even an enemy. But the Lord shows us what God the Father is really like. So to close, we ought to take note of the image of the sheep, because this completes the picture. And while most artistic depictions of sheep and the Lord as a good shepherd are highly romanticized, they are far from reality. If you've ever been around sheep, they are not pleasant animals. They're quite dumb. They will eat practically everything placed at their feet. And in fact, are quite prone to walk off the edge of a ravine, sometimes to their death, because they either follow the sheep in front of them, mob mentality, or they're not really paying attention, most of society. And that's not to mention how they smell when their wool gets wet. Mamma mia. You get the picture. That less than flattering image of sheep ought to compel us to consider then a few questions vis-a-vis the Good Shepherd. And I'll leave you with four. First, do we fully trust the Good Shepherd with our lives and truly recognize his voice and not just our own? Do we have the tendency to place our political leaders above our shepherds? This is a question that has been raised in recent weeks. Second, are we the kind of sheep that can be led by the Good Shepherd? That's very hard to do in a community filled with alpha persons. Can we be beta before the Lord? Third, are we docile to his commands, or do we insist on doing our own things our own way? And lastly, do we perceive our need for God and that the Lord, as the gatekeeper and the gate, is the only sure path to get there? We do well to pray on this Good Shepherd Sunday to have the humility to be led to the verdant pastures that only he can secure for us, in spite of our delusions of self-sufficiency and self-assuredness. Might we learn to listen for his voice, follow it with care, and rejoice always that we have been entrusted to the Good Shepherd who leads us to verdant pastures of everlasting life. Amen.